Now, I've got to say, Wednesday is starting to shape up. It's the best and busiest day of the week. What's up? Welcome to the Wednesday version of the program. We have got a ton to get done, and it's all good. My name is Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits, Rocket can. All right, then. You're checking out CBS Sports Network. You can see the guest rundown. If not, and you are listening, I can share it with you. Welcome to the program. Nice to have you here. My name is Jim Rome. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Now, we're going to load this thing up right down the middle. Right down the middle of the show, so you want to call now. Unless you've got a beef, and then you want to hold that. Wednesday is always a beef day. What's your beef? That segment is coming up in hour number three. That's how much we have in the middle of the program. So normally we have that in hour two. Today we will do that at 11:20. So if you want to save your beef, either by phone or by social media, 11:20 Pacific time, 2:20 Eastern time. If you want to jump in before then, you've got your phone number. If you want to hit me up on social media, you know you can do that at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E at haveatake.com. Wednesday is also a Jim Rome podcast day, but not any ordinary Jim Rome podcast day. The Masters gets underway, so you know what that means. The triumphant return of Elk for the fourth year in a row. The Mother Masters preview with Elk for the Jim Rome podcast. Episode 169 of the Jim Rome podcast with Steve Elkington pushing out after the program today. On top of that, here are my guests. NFL draft prospect Christian Darrisaw coming up at 9:40. Top of the second hour, a defensive tackle with the Minnesota Vikings, Dalvin Tomlinson. Also in hour number two, the new head basketball coach at Marquette, Shaka Smart. And your beef segment. Oh, and it's Wednesday, so an ATP. How busy is Wednesday? It took half of the opening segment just for me to set the entire program up. All right, then. All that said, hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. The first voice you hear will not be mine. It will be Hawks. Adam Hawk is going to ask you what you want to talk about. All right, let me start with some golf. Actually, bigger than that. According to TMZ, we are going to find out exactly what caused the February 23rd car accident involving Tiger Woods. The Los Angeles Sheriff's Department is expected to announce the results of their investigation into the single car accident, which left Woods with multiple comminuted open fractures to his right leg, an ankle injury, and trauma to the leg muscles. You might recall he was driving around 7 a.m. in Rolling Hills Estates when his SUV hit a raised median. It crossed a couple of oncoming lanes and it drilled a tree. Now, the fact that the Sheriff's Department is going to be making the results of their investigation public today is interesting given the fact that last week they said they would not be doing that. Remember? Last Wednesday, ESPN had a piece that began with the following sentence, quote, "The Los Angeles County Sheriff says detectives have determined what caused Tiger Woods to crash his SUV last month in Southern California, but would not release details Wednesday, citing unspecified privacy concerns for the golf star," end of quote. So at that time, it seemed kind of weird. Seemed like kind of a weird thing to say, like, we've got the black box. We know exactly what happened, but we're not saying. And yes, I do understand the argument that if they found that there was no crime committed, then how much does it really matter to the general public what the cause of the crash was? I get that. But as Joseph Jocalone, a professor at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice and a retired New York City Police Department sergeant said, quote, "I don't think I've ever seen a department ever ask for permission like that. What happens if his lawyers say, no, you can't send it out now? Then where does that leave us?" End quote. All right, so a lot of weirdness, except, and the good news is, all that weirdness is now past us because, according to TMZ, the Sheriff's Department is going to release the findings today. So we are finally going to get to the bottom of this whole thing. We're finally going to get a straightforward explanation as to what happened and what can be learned from this. No, we're not. Not according to TMZ, we're not. Because according to TMZ, quote, Tiger Woods' car crash was caused by excessive speed. But there may be more to the story that we may never know. The TMZ report went on, and I quote, sources with direct knowledge tell TMZ, Tiger was speeding when he lost control of his SUV, and we're told the sheriff is hanging the cause of the accident squarely on speed. End of quote. Those are the results of the investigation. That Tiger was speeding. That's what y'all came up with. Look, I'm no Columbo, but I could have pieced that one together from my living room. All I had to do was take one look at that wrecked rig, and I pretty much could have told you that speed was a factor in that crash. This guy's got injuries consistent with jumping into a trash compactor and turning it on. And you're going to sit here and tell me speed may have been a factor. Awesome. And I'm going to sit here and tell you water might be wet. You take all this time to investigate this wreck, and this is your conclusion. That dude may have been going too fast. That's it? You know what? That's really not much better than me saying, you know, I've conducted my own investigation into the Woods wreck. By looking at a few pics online, I've determined the dude was just driving too damn fast, and I will not be taking questions at this time. So you tell me how my investigation is any different than the actual investigation done by authorities. And wait, there's more from TMZ. Quote, we're told the SUV's black box shows that Tiger actually accelerated at the time of the crash. We're also told that as Tiger lost control of the SUV, it actually gained speed. What the sheriff's department does not know, if Tiger was conscious when he lost control and careened down the embankment, end quote. So, not only was speed a factor, but according to TMZ, the speed increased just as Tiger lost control of the car. Just don't ask why, because either they didn't bother investigating that, or they don't know, or they're just not saying. Only that cause of the accident is probably excessive speed. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Maybe he was on his phone when it went down. After all, texting and driving are essentially as dangerous as drinking and driving, or so we're led to believe. So maybe that's what happened. That would be a reasonable assumption and one that you might want to investigate. But according to TMZ, and I quote, law enforcement sources tell us the sheriff's department did not get a warrant to check Tiger's cell phone to determine if he was on a call or texting at the time of the crash. Our sources say the department felt it did not have probable cause to get a warrant for cell phone records, although that is often done in accident investigations. End quote. Wait, what? You have a vehicle that, from the sounds of it, accelerated at a very strange time, hit a median, crossed through two lanes of oncoming traffic, and uprooted a tree. But you're not going to check to see whether or not he was on the phone. And you're also not going to pull any blood to check to see if there were any substances involved, even though this is a person with a history of operating a vehicle while on a substance. Listen, I don't know how many investigations like this are normally conducted, or I should say, I don't know how they're normally conducted. I'm certainly no expert in this field. I'm not saying I am. I would never profess to that. But it would seem like checking cell phone records and drawing blood for testing might be a part of the investigation when somebody appears to be randomly start speeding, jumping medians, and posing a threat to others and themselves at 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, don't they do that? Wouldn't they do that if it happened to you or if it happened to me? And no, I'm not saying that Woods got preferential treatment. But what I am saying is I could see how you might think that. When you run down the list of things, the fact that Cell phone records were not pulled. Blood was not drawn. Last week, the sheriff's department was saying they wanted to check with him before they talked about it publicly. Yeah, all that together, and you could see why people might think that there was preferential treatment here. So at best, the whole investigation is really weird. And at worst, dude did get all sorts of preferential treatment because of who he is. I don't know. My bottom line is, and I want to be very clear about this, my bottom line is the same as it's been. I'm relieved that Tiger survived. I'm relieved that he's going to be okay, that he'll heal up, he'll recover, and then he can spend quality time with his family and live the life that he wants to live. That's the main thing. And that the investigation is really weird, with a lot of questions. Questions that apparently are always going to be there because the investigators didn't think to ask them, or they know the answers and they're just not going to give them to us. So there is the result of your investigation. Apparently, the cause of accident was excessive speeding. If you have any other questions, they're not getting answered. 1-800-636-8686 is your telephone number. If you want to react to that, go ahead. If you have thoughts on that, go ahead. If you want to just focus on the Masters, I've got a complete preview of that, both during this show and, frankly, an even better preview after the show when I bring Elk in for the fourth consecutive year. Masters getting underway. Who you got? Who do you like? Other topics on this Wednesday. Remember last year when the Boston Celtics made easy work of the 76ers in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs? Because of that, Philly had a big shakeup. Yeah, well, now they're going in different directions. And one of the biggest reasons for that, the big fella, jungle favorite, Joel Embiid, is playing lights out. And he got over again big last night. I want to get to it. Talk some Major League Baseball. Yankees are on my mind actually today. You know, a lot of talk about the National League and specifically the NL West, Dodgers, Padres, even the NL East. A lot of good baseball being played there. Getting lost in all of that is the American League. And I want to get into the Yankees and some of what they've done. Meanwhile, nationwide, we are starting to come back to normal. Things are changing for the better. We're not there yet. But the things that we've not been talking about lately have been COVID shortages. Not like when it first started. Not like when it first happened and we were all doing crazy, crazy things like buying toilet paper on eBay. Guilty. Throwing down crazy amounts of money for a thermometer on eBay. Guilty. Remember that? All sorts of shortages. Well, this one's off the record. Actually, off the grid, off the table, off of everything. I want to talk about a shortage that is impacting absolutely nobody. And if it's impacting nobody, how is there a shortage? It's kind of counterintuitive, right? A shortage of ketchup packages. The next time somebody uses a ketchup package will be the first time, yet we're running out. And I want to talk about why that's so important. Why I need to get into that. Oh, and one more baseball note. Have you seen the Red Sox new uniforms? How whack are they? That's coming up as well.
That's whack.
And we can go back and talk about the NCAA championship game, the coaching carousel, and college basketball also. A little reaction before we go to break. Hey, Sheriff's Department. It's Tiger. If anyone calls, I'll need you to tell them that you don't have the accident info. I need you to do this for me. Huge. Hey, Stephen PHX.
Tiger. I need you to do me a huge favor. Can you please take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone and may be calling you. So if you can, please take your name off that. And what do you call it? Just have it as a number on the voicemail. Just have it as your telephone number. That's it. Okay, you got to do this for me. Huge, quickly.
All right,
bye.
Hey, is it too soon for jokes like that? Because if it's not, what I want to say is, hey, do me a favor. Go into your phone and take your name out and just put speeding. Just put excessive speed in there. Hey, do me a favor. Take blood out. Take out texting. Take out talking while driving. Take out texting. Take out blood draw. And just put excessive speeding. If it's not too soon. Quickly, huge.
Huge.
Put under your first name, put excessive.
Huge.
And under your last name, put speeding.
Huge.
Something else I noticed. As part of the report, since there is no crime committed, according to, I think, the New York Post, there was a report that Tiger just does not care. He does not care about all the speculations about to what it might be and what people think it might be, and he's focused only on his rehab and the work he's got to get done. Good. That's good. If I were him, I would too. And if that's what he's focused on, then I guess we can make the jokes. Hey, go into your phone and take out your name and replace it with excessive. And then for a middle name, put P, excessive P speeding. Anyway, back to...
That's private.
Back to the actual thing. I'm not saying that he got preferential treatment. I'm just posing the question. If it were you and if it were me, we'd have been handled the same way. I'm not saying he did. I don't know. I don't know enough to know. I'm not saying he did. What I am saying is, if you think he did, I know why you might think that. Like this guy writes, Jaime, no crime occurred. How would we know? They did not even do a blood draw on a guy who has a history of substance abuse. Stephen S.A. Yeah, I wonder about that. Like, again, I don't know. I'm sure somebody listening knows. I'm sure there's an authority listening. I'm sure there's an officer listening. I'm sure somebody who conducts these types of investigations is listening and would know. I'm not saying that. I want to be so clear about that. I don't know. But I would like to know why they would not check phone records or why there would not be a blood draw given his history. I don't know. Carl tweets, I once uprooted a tree. Signed, Sonny Bono. All right, now that is something I do know about. That I can speak with great authority on. And the authority being, I'm the host of this bleeping show. We're not talking about Sonny Bono. That I can speak with great authority on. That much I do know. I don't need somebody listening to tell me about Sonny Bono. I know what happened to him. And I know it's not funny. And I know it's not show fodder. All right? I know that. You have your telephone number. You know where to find me. If there's something you want to beef on, save it until 11:20. At that point, we've got beef. Also, after the program today, we are talking all things Masters with Steve Elkington. And you know Elk. I bet he's got a story or two for us about something. All that is straight ahead. Albie? Speaking of which, golfers are in Georgia. They're competing for the coveted jacket. DraftKings is the leader in one-day fantasy sports, and they're putting you right in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at the $1 million top prize. If you have not tried DraftKings, this is the time to do so. It is so easy to play. You pick six golfers, you stay under the salary cap, and then you submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday. So you've got to get it done. Then you sit back, and then you follow all the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you will be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Download the DraftKings app right now. Use my code ROME during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Codename Rome. You get your free shot at the $1 million top prize. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Codename Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Just thinking about it. I was thinking about how I have not been giving myself enough credit lately. So now would be a pretty good time to do it. I am all over it. In a good way.
For real.
Big time Wednesday. And as part of Wednesday, we have the ATP, the Ask the Pros. And that, of course, is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you have a question for me, do not do it on the phones. Do not do it on social media. Go to this address, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask me something, and I will answer it later on. And remember, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, so as part of the open, in fact, as the open, I mentioned that the investigation's complete, and initially we were led to believe that authorities knew what happened regarding the crash involving Tiger Woods, but they were not going to share that information. And now come to find out, they are sharing that information. And the information is mostly that excessive speeding was involved. Yeah, but what about a cell phone? Was he on a cell phone? Don't know that. Well, you pulled blood, right? Nope. But why didn't you do those things? Because. And I said, listen, I don't know why, because I'm not an expert at this. And I don't profess to be, and I'm not going to suggest that I would be. I don't know the answer. I really don't. And most of all, and I want to be so clear about this, I do not know whether or not he was the beneficiary of preferential treatment because of who he is. I don't know that. But if you think that, I could see why you might think that, but I do not know. And then I said, but I guarantee somebody listening does, because I know my audience. And I said, if there is somebody who is involved or has been involved or does this kind of work that can provide some insight, by all means, give me a phone call, because I bet there is. So, sure enough, let's go to Newport Beach. Bobby in Newport Beach. Bobby, it's good to have you on. How are you? Good morning.
I'm excellent, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to shed some light on the topic from this morning. Number one is the sheriff's department, whether they want to or not, they legally can't get a warrant for his phone records, because the only way to get a warrant is if there's an underlying felony, for instance, a murder, a robbery, something of that effect. Well, talking on your phone while driving is an infraction in California. Similarly, speeding while you're driving is an infraction. That's the opposite of a felony. So they're legally not allowed to obtain a warrant for
Let me jump in. Are you somebody who's watched a lot of crime shows, or are you somehow involved in the process?
I've been a district attorney for 13 years.
Okay, there you go.
Three or 400 warrants in my life.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Go ahead, continue.
Okay, so number one is the reason that they're not asking for warrants for his phone or his speed is they can't. Those are infractions. It's not a felony. The second thing is the reason that they don't do the blood draw in a situation where you have a horrific traffic accident is, number one, the paramedics on the scene have to administer pain medication to the injured party right away. So it doesn't do any good to then take a blood sample and test for DUI, because you know that the paramedics have already had to administer whatever type it is of pain medication that they have. Secondly, they can't just jam a needle in him and take a blood sample, because they need a warrant to do that as well. And again, they didn't have any underlying felony, and they still don't. So it doesn't look at all like preferential treatment. It's just they're following the law. All right, That's all I wanted to say.
No, I appreciate that very much. Really quickly, so in your opinion, did he receive any preferential treatment at all?
Well, based on the evidence that's been reported, it doesn't look like he received any preferential treatment in terms of they handled this as they would any type of traffic investigation. There were no felonies to pursue warrants. They couldn't have him do field sobriety tests, Jim, because his legs were shattered. They can't get up and have him walk a straight line or something like that. Similarly, he's in so much pain, they can't go through the normal FSTs. They found, obviously, no indication of, you know, pain pills or evidence in the car that would support a DUI. So far, they've treated it with a complete fair investigation.
Got it. All right, Bobby, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Like I said, I know my audience. I know my audience, and never, ever confuse the audience with the callers or the audience with the tweeters or the audience with the JTP. All of those people are part of the audience and an important part of the audience. But I understand also there are a lot of people who listen that would never call. There are a lot of people who listen who would never post. There are a lot of people who listen who would never thumb out a tweet. A 13-year DA probably is not going to come on and start talking a bunch of junk or have some Twitter beef with somebody. But I knew that if I brought up a legal issue, if you believe that person to be who he says he is, that you might get that kind of insight. 1-800-636-8686. He says, based on these things, they cannot get a warrant. Rum Slice. Tiger Woods, you suck at driving. Regards, L.A. County Sheriffs.
And Tiger on the tee, the hole in the upper back right
Tiger
quadrant.
Tiger Woods, suck. Damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
No, I don't think so. There's some good use of the third person right there. Tiger Woods, you suck. We don't know what happened. I don't know, and unlike most others in my position, I'm not going to speculate. I don't know why he crossed over a couple of lanes, over a median, jumped the curb, hit a tree with nobody on the road early in the morning, and why he increased in speed as it went down. I was hoping the investigation would tell us that, but it didn't. And apparently it's not going to. In the meantime, we've got ourselves the Masters, which is going to get underway shortly. I've got a preview myself, and then more importantly, Elk has a preview coming up later on. When we come back, we change up. The draft is coming up, and I'm trying to get as many draft prospects on this show before the actual NFL draft, and I will have another one for you, Christian Darrisaw. Then top of the hour, Vikings defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson. Also in hour number two, the new head coach at Marquette, Shaka Smart. The beef segment in hour three. Right now, I've got a bottom of the hour sports update. We do it at the bottom of every hour during this show. Here is the latest. Andrew Bogish is all over this one.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash. Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Good to be with you on this Wednesday. In fact, it's a great Wednesday. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Very quickly, breaking news, Jeff Goodman on Twitter. Breaking, Arizona has parted ways with Sean Miller. Sources told at Stadium. So more on that in a few moments. As promised, the NFL draft is upcoming. It gets underway on April 29th. I'm trying to run down as many draft prospects as I can between now and then. We are joined now by a former Virginia Tech offensive tackle. He was a first-team All-ACC-er this season. Second-team All-ACC in 2019. One of just nine true freshman offensive linemen to start week one in the FBS back in 2018. And again, the draft gets underway on April 29th. Christian Darrisaw is my guest. Christian, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Good, good. Listen, I'm curious, with each day bringing us even closer to the draft, what has the process been like for you overall? For instance, is this something you enjoy, or are you looking forward to just hitting that button to fast forward this thing so you can hear your name getting called?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely enjoying it right now, for sure. But I know there will be a time when the button does get called, and I know what team I'm going to and everything, and I'm ready for that moment for sure.
All right, so let me ask you this. I think so people can fully understand your journey to this point, we've got to go back to when you were in high school. How would you describe yourself as a player in high school?
In high school, I was very aggressive. The competition was kind of easier, though. I didn't really play like in a big conference or everything, so it was easier in high school for sure.
It was easier, but at the same time, you were at Riverdale Baptist, and your coach there, Caesar Nettles, said that he could not understand why you were not being heavily recruited. He told The Athletic that you had as high a ceiling as anybody he was coaching at that time, but in the middle of your senior year, you only had three offers on the table, and they were from FCS schools. So what was that time like? Were you at all concerned about your future?
I wasn't concerned at all. I just do like whatever like the plan was, I was going to make the most out of it. And then, like, whatever I can do from there, just take it from there and just run with it. Always been slept on, like, the underdog. So I knew, like, wherever I was put in, I was going to work regardless. It just made the most out of my situation.
Christian Darrisaw is joining us. So in terms of the situation, Virginia Tech started to call. Holman Wiggins, who was your primary recruiter there, said after you committed that he could not understand why nobody was recruiting you, and he started to wonder why nobody else was seeing what he was seeing. So what did you think about that program at that time?
I just knew that they seen something to me that the other coach was definitely missing out on. And I knew, like, they trusted me, and they knew I was going to be a great player. So it was just like that from there on, from right there. I just knew, like, I got to make the most out of this opportunity, and I just can't look back.
All right, so they knew, they understood, but at the same time, you ultimately decided to go to Fork Union Military Academy for a year before you went to Virginia Tech. Now, the story goes that when you go there, you have to turn in your cell phone. You're not allowed to bring a personal computer. Was that the case? And if so, what was that like?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the case. They take your phones. You get school-issue laptops. Like, the Wi-Fi turns off at a certain time and everything. So it just feels like you're disconnected from the world, like, a little bit. You got to have, like, your phone card if you want to make phone calls and everything. But after the first 2 weeks, once you get, like, adjusted and everything, it was kind of like it wasn't bad. I enjoyed my time there for sure. It was a great experience. And, like, if I had to do it again, I would. I had no problems with it.
That's really interesting. Like, I've got a 16-year-old son, dude, and if I took his cell phone and I turned off, or I took his personal computer and I turned off his Wi-Fi, man, I don't know that kid could acclimate. I'd like to find out.
Exactly.
I'd like to find out, man. I think that's great. Christian Darrisaw joining us. Now, the story goes that while you were at Fork Union, other schools then suddenly do start to get interested, and they start coming around. Coach Nettles talks about the fact that recruiting services had you as a 2-star recruit when you left high school, but a 4-star recruit 1 year later when you left Fork Union. So what was it like to all of a sudden have these schools start coming around and have that kind of interest?
It was just like, it was kind of like a fake love, I guess you could say. Like, if you wasn't there for me, like, in the beginning, how Virginia Tech was and the, like, other FBS schools, like, I don't want you now. I'm just going to keep proving y'all wrong. Because clearly y'all seeing something now that I didn't see before. So it's like, I'm just going to keep proving the doubt is wrong and everything, and just keep moving on from there.
Okay, now that's some real talk right there. I appreciate that. I respect that. Christian Darrisaw joining us. You go to Virginia Tech. You start the first game of your freshman year at left tackle. That's really rare. What do you remember about that and earning that job and then debuting against Florida State?
It's like all the hard work. Just listening to, like, the older guys in the room. Just like how to train, how to take care of your body and everything, and study the playbook. They played a huge role in that. And then, like, just earning that job, I knew what came with it. Like, I could lose at any moment, so I just had to keep working hard and everything. And I couldn't get, like, too, like, big-headed or anything. Just, like, no, stay level-headed at all times, and everything will work out from there. But that first game versus Florida State, Brian Burns, man. It was crazy for sure.
I was going to say, it wasn't just that first game at left tackle in Florida State. It was against Brian Burns, who went on to be a first-round pick, and he had 9 sacks last year for the Panthers. So what was that matchup like?
Oh, man, it was crazy. Like, I didn't even know who he was until, like, the night before we were in the hotel. Me and my roommate, we're both freshmen. We're watching, it was game on, and we seen a commercial. It was, like, us playing them, and they showed 99. I was like, who is that? I looked him up. I was like, oh, my God. Like, he was one of, like, the premier DNs of college football. I was like, man, it's going to be a tough one for sure.
Who is that? That's that dude I'm going to have to deal with all day long. Christian Darrisaw joining us. So then you got Vance Vice, who was your offensive line coach at Tech. He said that what set you apart is that you obviously work really hard with the team in practice, but you do a lot of stuff on your own. Where did that approach come from, and what kinds of things were you doing on your own off to the side?
It really came from, like, the older guys, just, like, what it's going to take to, like, get to the next level. And just doing extra, doing more is really what it's going to take, like, to be a better player. And this is, like, coming in before practice, maybe, like, watching a little bit of film, or just staying after, just working on different steps and techniques that I feel like I was weak at. And then another thing I would do, just get the O-line, like, a few of us, just to go over, like, a few plays that we had miscommunications on and everything. So definitely the older guys instilled that in me.
Christian Darrisaw joining us for a few more moments. So in your mind, what makes a great offensive tackle? For instance, is it technique? Is it work ethic? Is it film study? Is it something else? What's the great separator?
I think it's all of that, really. You got to watch your film because you got to know how that defensive end is going to react to what type of set. You take a vertical set or a jam set or whatever. You definitely got to know how he's going to react. And then it's like a guy who cares about the game, really, you got to be physical at all times and just know, like, never take a playoff, really. Once you take that playoff, that might be the play that y'all need to win the game. So just don't take a playoff. You got to be physical, smart, know what the defenses are doing. That comes with watching film. And I really feel like you'll be set from there.
All right, so with this mindset and with a work ethic like that, with your base talent, you're getting a lot of attention right now, is a potential first-round pick. What's your reaction when you hear that, and what would it mean to you to go in the first round?
My reaction, I'm really not trying to, like, buy into the hype and everything. Like, when draft night gets here, we'll see what happens and everything. I know anything can happen on draft night. So it's like that part is what it is. Like, you can't get too big-headed, like I said. And it's just like when draft night, when I do hear my name called, it's going to feel like a dream come true. All the hard work that I put in and everything, to finally, like, just to get to this level, will be a dream come true for me.
All right, so finally, where do you come out on this? Like, you're taking this all in stride, as I might expect. But so is there a part of you that feels like, you know, I've done all the work and I'm finally getting the respect that I've earned? Or are you still approaching this like a two-star recruit from Prince George's County, Maryland?
Oh, yeah, two-star recruit for sure.
We're talking about the draft. It's coming up on April 29th, the 2021 NFL Draft. Another name to watch, getting a lot of attention, is a potential first-round pick, Christian Darrisaw, my guest. Christian, great to have you on the show. Good luck with that, and I'll look for you once you decide, or once it is decided, where you end up. I'd love to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Christian Darrisaw joining us. All right, like I said, I'm trying to get as many draft picks as possible because these guys, you never know where you find great players. He was a two-star pick, a two-star recruit coming out of high school. And the folks at Virginia Tech were like, wait, what is everybody missing about this guy? What do we see that nobody else sees? And maybe are we wrong? No, you were right. Think about that for a minute. When you go for 1 year before you go to college, and the first thing they say to you is, all right, give me your phone. And give me your personal computer, and you're going to have limited Wi-Fi. Do you have a teenager at home? Do you have any idea how that would go? I do it sometimes. Sometimes we'll rip Logan's phone, and he's not happy about it, but he's all right, because he knows he's going to get it back. What if you went to your teenager and said, give me your phone, you're not going to see it again for a year. Oh, and give me your laptop, and your desktop. And no video games either. And we're going to give you limited Wi-Fi. And you can only use it for work and study. How would that go? Probably not real well. Hell, if somebody did that to me as a middle-aged man, that would not go pretty well. Nah, I'm not going to say it's that, Alvy. It might not be a reason to go, per se. This guy writes, I got some reaction. Dear Bobby, you're an attorney from Newport Beach. What's your area of expertise? We have a lot of cases for you to take on. Regards, facial reconstruction malpractice. Newport Beach, Manhattan Beach, Broad Beach, Malibu. You could probably make a lot of money doing stuff like that. Taking on, quote, facial reconstruction malpractice suits. I.e., I got a bad face job. I got a bad nose job. I got some bad Botox. Jim, the Northeast is still cold, and early rounds can still be canceled because of morning frost. When I hear about the Masters event coming up, it signifies the start of golf for us in New York. Wore a pro-am pairing of Ian Poulter and Wendy Williams. Jake in New York City.
It's a matter of time. She's not lonely. I apologize.
You know, Jake, normally when I see you participate and I see something from Jake in NYC, I want to use it. I want to read it because you're Jake in New York City. And I love some New York City involvement, unless that involvement is about flatulence. Can I just say for the record one last time? Farts stop being amusing when you turn 9. Jake, I don't think you're 9, Jake. In fact, I'd bet anything I have that you're older than nine, Jake. So why are you warring a pro-am pairing of Ian Poulter and Wendy Williams? Jake, I bet. Thanks, Alvin. You're not helping him. You're hurting him. Jake, I'm guessing you don't even like golf. But apparently you do like flatulence. You just used it as a reason to tee that up. Hey, Rome, athletes don't get preferential treatment. Hey, James Kelly, shut the hell up. Kelly's immediately in with, oh, that's so good. That's so good. Kelly, I know you're not nine. Kelly's one of those guys who's like, hey, boss, any way we can work in that DeAndre Jordan smack? No, James, not really. Hey, Rome, athletes don't get preferential treatment. Wink, wink. Signed, Ray Lewis. Jeremiah in Greenville. All right, so I know you're trying to wreck my show. I'm just not going to let it happen. Because it's my show. Give me back my show.
Give me back my show.
When we return, Vikings defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson joins me. Later on next hour, Shaka Smart is the new head basketball coach at Marquette. I've got a beef segment coming up, but not until hour number three. We do it every single Wednesday. It always works. It always works. You can hit me with a beef on the phones if you want. You can hit me with a beef on Twitter if you prefer. It's easier. Hit me at Jim Rome. The beef can be about anything you want. Sports, non-sports, personal, professional, family, anything you want. The beefs or the beef segment's wide open. I do not care. Anything you want. 11:20 Pacific time. If you're thinking about the Masters, I've got a preview coming up, my preview. And then after the show, another preview, Steve Elkington's preview. So it's going to be a good Wednesday. It's already a good Wednesday. And more where that came from. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Hour number two, straight ahead.